crazy. People ride in the streets, killing unborn babies, catching shots from police. Never thought that I would see the day, but now I have to pray for God to hold me down. Cause Lord, I feel like giving up today. I feel like giving up the faith. I swear these people fake, I swear they full of hate. I swear to tell the truth until I'm in the grave. Shots fired, everybody quiet. Trying to hear the preacher, he ain't preaching to the choir. Preaching to the riots, daddy got fired. He ain't got no Medicare, sipping liquor in his chair. Blank stare, need a blank check. Where your bank at? Baby's had a birthday, they gon' need a rain check. Rich man need a vacation, hop a plane. Broke man need a vacation, Mary Jane. Walk outside and everything is lovely. Butterflies in my stomach from this girl I wanna see. Party in the neighborhood and everybody on the street. They was on that Stevie Wonder, now it's Frankie Beverly. I done seen days go crazy, time fly by. Maybe it was yesterday or maybe 65. Beast in war, born and die. All too familiar, more lifetimes, One time for the memories, two times for the crew, three times for the love, y'all, and four times for the truth. And some days are a nightmare, and some dreams come true, but the Lord's still right there. It's just deja vu, it's just deja vu, deja vu. It's just deja vu, y'all, it's just deja vu. It feel like Tribe Called Quest, it feel like De La Soul. It feel all too familiar, it feel like deja vu, I said I love you, hit the dough, got a mission, got a goal. Yeah, it's cold, but I'm gon' pursue that. She said she love me, but she know I'm too old to be waiting for a handout. Boy, you knew that. And if they try to keep me down, hold my ground till they all look around and they wonder who that. They don't respect my mind and respect my grind, so I told her I gotta do that. Now maybe I was talking to my lady, but I think I told my mama same thing. I told her I was all about the action, and then I got ghost face in my dreams. Deja vu, parlez-vous français, coordinates. Everything the same under the sun, that's why we burning up. Don't believe astrology, but man, I hated cancer. Breast, lung, throat, blood, praying for an answer. Seemed like it was yesterday they came and took your breath away, and I ain't get a chance to tell you everything I wanna say. Now they say your sister got it too. Yeah, they say it's true. Guess it's never finished till it's shoot. Deja vu. One time for the memories, two times for the crew, three times for the love, y'all, and four times for the truth. And some days are a nightmare, and some dreams come true, but the Lord's still right there. It's just deja vu, it's just deja vu.
Here to me is the epitome of it all. This was dated November 17th. And you heard about this, but I'm going to read the whole thing because I want to talk about all everything this person said. So Tennessee Titans fan Rosemarie Pelorian of Nashville attended Sunday's game against the Carolina Panthers with her fourth grade daughter. On Monday, she sent a note that she wrote to Panthers quarterback Cam Newton. Dear Mr. Newton, congratulations on your win in Nashville today. Our team played well, but yours played better. Kudos to the Panthers organization. I don't want to even pull up his stats to know what he did that game. That game happened to be my 9-year-old daughter's first live NFL experience. Just a surprise to see so many Panthers fans sitting in our section of the stadium. That doesn't happen much at the fourth grade football games. And she was excited we were near the end zone so we could be close to the action, particularly in the second half. I wonder if she happened to be close to the action or the thought that she may get a football. That's what I want to know, because that's what he does. Because of where we sat, we had a close-up view of your conduct in the fourth quarter. The chest puffs, the pelvic thrust. I've never seen Cam do a pelvic thrust. The arrogant struts, but Aaron Rodgers does thrust his pelvic forward when he crosses his double check. The arrogant struts and the in-your-face taunting of both the Titans players and fans. We saw it all. She didn't tell me if she saw him give any footballs, though. I refuse to believe you don't realize you are a role model. I refuse to believe that as well. I would agree with her because he does. You are paid millions of dollars to every week to play hard and be a lead. This goes right to the cusp of what you said, Drake. You are paid millions of dollars every week to play hard and be a leader. In the offseason, you're expected to make appearances, support charities, inspire young kids to pursue your sport and all sports. With everything the NFL has gone through in recent years, I'm confident they have advised you that you are, by virtue of your position and career choice, a role model. Can I be real honest about what this just said? Listen, nigga, You have been told by your master what's expected of you. You are to perform. You are to sing, dance, smile, and tap when we tell you to, whenever we tell you to. That's what I just read that said. You know what I'm saying? Because Big Drake, in what she just in that paragraph alone, the you know, connotation you spoke of, I refuse to believe it. You're telling you don't realize you're a role model, but everything she said about the offseason, go check his track record. Go check his track record all the way back to Auburn. This boy, even before he was Cam Newton, was up at the school volunteering at the Big Brothers Big Sisters program, being a role model or being a mentor for the kids at the school in Auburn. Even after becoming Cam Newton, he still made sure. I remember the article they wrote where the principal said, you know, she told him, Cam, you know, you don't have to come every day now, you know, every week. We know football has gotten really demanding. He said, no, I made the commitment. If you need me, I'm here. So to tell me about his appearances, supporting charities and inspiring young kids, for real? Really? Yeah. Then, because you're a role model, your behavior brought out like behavior in the stands. Some of the Fat Panther fans in our section began taunting the hometown fans. Many Titan fans booed you. Okay, hold on. So which happened first? Did the Titan fans boo him, or did the Panther fans start taunting him? Because if I'm not taunting you and you start booing my quarterback, what do you think that's going to elicit a response from me? Yeah. A few offering instructive but not necessarily family-friendly suggestions as to how you might change your behavior. So the fans of the Titans had some really unfamily-friendly stuff to say. Which happened first? Did the Panthers fans start taunting, or did the Titans fans start saying what they say? Okay, my daughter sensed the change immediately and started asking questions. Won't he get in trouble for doing that? Is he trying to make people mad? Do you think he knows he looks like a spoiled brat? First and foremost, I don't think your 9-year-old daughter said, do you think he knows he looks like a spoiled brat? May just be me, but the 9-year-olds I'm around, I don't think would have said that. I didn't have great answers for her, and honestly, in an effort to minimize your negative impact, what was otherwise a really fun day, I redirected her attention to the cheerleaders, who are half naked, and mascot. I could tell I pray you hope your daughter grow up to be the mascot. I mean, that I would love to see you aspire to be that. Well, whatever. I could tell she was still thinking about it as we boarded the shuttle back to our car. I guess he doesn't have kids or a mom at home watching the game. You're right. His mom ain't at home. She probably was at the game because it's not a far drive from Atlanta. I could tell she was still. I don't know about your family life, Mr. Newton, but I think I'm safe in saying thousands of kids watch you every week. You have amazing talent and an incredible platform to be a role model for them. Unfortunately, what you model for them today was egotism, arrogance, and poor sportsmanship. Is that what your coaches and mentors modeled for you, Mr. Newton? Bro, that pissed me off so bad because to your point, to everything you just said, hey, Mr. Bojangles, dance to the tune that I play. Don't dance to no other tune. Don't do no jigaboo to your music. I want you to dance to the tune that I play. Mm-hmm. That letter right there is exactly why they don't like Cameron Newton. I like how he said Cameron, Cam, whichever you call me. That is exactly why they don't like Cameron Newton. Because he refused to do what he has been advised to do. Air quotes. Advised to do. Big Drake, you wanted, and he said, you know the reason why? He said, I've been doing this ever since I got in the league. You know why it matters now? Because we win it. And you know, I almost say this, you know why it matters because he's winning now? Because for them, it validates that we can be who we are and still be successful. And they don't want to see that. They wanted you to believe you either act the way we tell you to, or you would never succeed. And Cam said, nope, I'm going to be me. And guess what? My team's still going to be who I am.
Yeah.
So I for one, look forward to this Sunday. I hope Mr. Cameron Newton and the Carolina Panthers beat the Denver Broncos by 78 points. I hope they have to cart Peyton Manning off the field, because I personally
personally, I don't care for Peyton Manning. Never have. I have one fraternity brother who I know will not like my comments because he is diehard true and blue, but Denver Broncos. But I hope Mr. Osweiler comes off to finish the game up. And Cam ascends to his rightful position at the top of the heap. Now, the other thing I want to see is, it don't they make the award announcement this week for the MVP?
Yes. Hey, he'll get that. Hey. I mean, he'll get that. But, I'm not doubting that.
Let me ask you this, Big Drake. Had Tom Brady beat Denver convincingly, do you think there still would have been an outside chance they would have tried to give it to Tom?
No.
You don't think so?
Especially with everything that's been going on with Cam Newton. If
Cam messed him up from a PR standpoint by coming out and saying I'm black and that's why y'all don't like me.
Yeah, and if they give it to anybody else, that's just going to validate what we think.
That's right.
And
that's
they know they can't do that. They never care. Okay, we can't let them know that they're right.
That's right. Can't let them know. So another freaking fact. If Cam does win the MVP as well as the Super Bowl, he will be the first quarterback to win. The first player, period, to win the Heisman, National Championship, MVP, and Super Bowl. To win all four.
Yeah,
I thought I seen that stat.
Well, he won at Blinn College, whatever division that was. Didn't they win a national championship?
Yeah, he won a national championship there too. Yes, I'm guaranteed he'd be the first person to ever surely did all of them. JUCO national championship, yeah. So, man, Cam, I wish Cam most best of luck, man. I really do. I don't think he will because I think he's a great defensive coach. If Wade Phillips bring the defensive scheme he did to stop Tom Brady, Cam will eat it apart. He'll destroy that defense. They cannot rush Cam from the outside and try to contain the pocket because he's just gonna step up in the middle and outrun it. Because you seen when Tom Brady tried to get that scramble, he made that 12-yard run that took 15 seconds.
Yeah, so then almost broke his leg.
That had to be the longest timed run I've ever seen in my life, dogs. Yeah. I don't think Wade can come in with that defense against Cam. I think Cam would destroy that defensive scheme they ran to beat them.
And that's the thing. I mean, I know somebody was saying something like, well, he's not that good of a thrower because for whatever reason, there's a few people. I'm not going to say all. There's a few people that think he's not that great of that polished of a thrower. And it was maybe Phil Simms or even Troy Aikman. Somebody said, whomever said the thing was, I don't trust Cam in the pocket. I blitz him. I do this. I do that. And it was either, like I said, Phil Simms or Troy Aikman. Like, I can't remember who. But they're like, that's probably going to be a bad idea because percentage-wise, Cam Newton is rated number one against the blitz.
That's right.
So, this is a young man who literally can do it all. You think, he's tall, he's big, he's strong, he's a good-looking cat, he's athletic. So, he's just a running quarterback because he can run. But now he's shown that, hey, he is a dynamic thrower.
He is.
So you got to think. And, some people just got hate in their system. They just think it's a hater. If everybody likes vanilla, they're going to go with chocolate just because I got to hate on vanilla. So you have to question something that you don't know about because haters gonna hate. You got to do something. You got somebody that does everything well. He's a great leader. His teammates will do whatever he asks them to do because they've seen that he would do it first. And this goes to another thing that I saw. Since I've been off, my wife and I have been watching nothing but Sports Center, especially when Cam Newton made that thing. We watched Sports Center, then we watch Mike and Mike in the Morning, then we watch Him and Her, then we watch First Take. I mean, and that's all they talked about. And Chris Carter came on Mike and Mike because it was Mike Goldberg, Golick, yeah, the one who actually plays football, not the other skinny guy. And he, went on and said, "Hey, I'm a Cam Newton fan. I, I like Cam. I respect the game, blah, blah, blah. But in the beginning, I had a problem with him because I played. I was in the NFL X amount of time. And I was like, hey, you need to do something before you act like this. And who are you to come in this league and act this way and act like that? Goes back to what I was just saying, yeah. Acting. Now, see, this year he has the right to act any way he wants to act because he's going to be the MVP of the league and blah, 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 blah. So he said that a couple of times because, in radio, even though they're, it's a show, but a TV show, but in radio, you have different time segments, and so you get asked the same question a couple of times. And mm-hmm. So he had to give the response. But once Chris Carter came on, the same question was posed. He gave a response, and Chris Carter said, well, Mike, I've known this kid ever since he was in high school, and I was at his camp date when he was at such and such, and he named a couple other quarterbacks that are in the league now that was at this camp, and such and such and such and such. And this guy was on in the 10th grade, and he outdid this, and he outdid that, and in Florida offered him that day, even though they still had Tebow. And he said, I tell you one thing, since the moment I met Cam umpteen years ago, he has been the same. He hadn't changed not one bit. So you and everybody else saying, oh, because he's in the NFL now, he's changed who he is. The spotlight is on him. The spotlight, he's never asked to be in the spotlight. Everything he does is to have fun and to have fun with his teammates.
Right.
And Chris kind of politely ripped into him and just told him about himself. And I will admit, Mike said, you know what? I didn't think about any of that. I didn't know this kid before he came to the league. And I'm sorry. My views have changed. I apologize. it was a little refreshing for somebody to, because even when I tried to have this discussion with my other buddies who don't like him, they don't never want to have a discussion.
No, because they know they have no legitimacy.
Well, why don't you like him? He's arrogant. I can tell you some stuff.
There's something about it.
Let's talk about it then. Yeah. What don't you like? I mean, every time he scores, makes a first down, he has to do that. He's just arrogant and selfish. And once again, it goes because you want him to act a certain way.
Yep. Yep. That's what it really boils down to, bro. I mean, that's the crux of it all. Because I was just sitting here. It's like, okay, so first 5 years in the league, right? How does Cam compare to other great quarterbacks? So some great quarterbacks. Again, Peyton Manning, right? So Cam, for one, he broke Peyton's, because they always talk about him being a passer. As a rookie, he broke Peyton's rookie passing record because he threw for 4,000 yards. Peyton threw for 3,700. So Peyton's first 5 years, 37, 41, 44, 41. Passer rating, 71, 90, 94, 84, 88. Cam passer rating, 84, 86, 88, 82, 99. That's pretty comparable. I mean, that's about an 88-89% average. That's pretty freaking comparable. Cam's passing, 4,038, 33, 31, 38. Again, he probably 1,000 off each time on that, but far less passes. Cause Wetzcom was throwing over 600 times of 600 passes. So his percentages from Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. He's only about 3 percentage points behind. For Dan Marino, he's about on par with Dan Marino, sitting right there at Cam average, right at 59.6, so right at 60% a game. And Joe Montana sitting there probably about 62 for the first 5 years. So when we talk about and Joe Montana, I mean, well, Joe just can't compare to Cam statistically. I mean, when I look at his stats, they're not even close to being able to compare. So, your point, if it's not stats, you talk about celebrations, but you don't want to talk about Aaron Rodgers and some of the other ones. So if it's not that, what's the something about him? And when I talk about all the other great quarterbacks, there's only one thing that I can think about. There's something about him that's different. He just happened to be black. Talk about cocky and arrogant. And this, here's my problem with people talking about cocky and arrogant. So, are you telling me none of the other greats have been cocky and arrogant?
Well, see, there's a thin line, a very thin line between confident and arrogance.
I agree.
And I guess sometimes it's all in the eye of the beholder.
Yep.
I think a lot of it is confident. I mean, most people who hadn't played football or any particular sport at a high level are going to think other people are cocky and arrogant. They're going to think some people, you know, probably far less, some people might think Tom Brady cocky and arrogant. I don't think he's cocky and arrogant. I think in the heat of battle, of course, he enthused with his teammates. Same thing as Cam. That's why I don't like the biases. I don't like, I'm not going to say I don't like. I don't care for Tom Brady because I personally, evidence, not no speculation, evidence has shown this dude is a liar and a cheater.
Right.
But as far as being cocky and arrogant, And this is why a lot of people don't like Floyd Mayweather. And it goes basically a lot of times on race. You have, now Floyd is a little cocky and arrogant.
He is. He jumps feet first over that line.
He jumps over that line. But if you ask 10 people, 5 white, 5 black, the 5 white going to say, I hope he get his ass knocked out. The 5 black one. And it goes back to what I said about how people want us to act. Because of the history of this country, people, no matter what your skin tone is, you relate to who look like you. So because Floyd is black, and we love the way he acts, and I do believe it's cultural differences and age differences amongst a lot of people, but the confidence, I gave this talk to my team one time because it was just a lax day of practice. People were, I mean, at this time we were 6-0 last year. We only had 2 games left. We already made the playoffs. We could have went out there and laid goose eggs in the next 2 games and still been the number one team in the playoffs. We had beat people down so bad and so forth and so forth. And it was just so horrible. So I stopped practice and I gave them a speech on confidence and arrogance. And I said, I've only been coaching a small amount of time, but because of, you know, I've been blessed to play some college ball, and my knowledge of playing college ball afforded me some knowledge of football.
Mm-hmm.
So when I step on this football field, I believe I am the best coach on this damn field. I believe I'm better. You're damn right. I believe I'm the best SOB on this field. I'm confident. And being confident means the night before I prepared, I made sure I had everything I wanted to do. As far as practice-wise, before I came out here, I made sure I contacted all you guys to make sure, I shouldn't have to, but to make sure I reminded you guys, everybody got my text, yeah, coach, we got that. I talked to other coaches that's here on this field with me to say, hey, do you think I need to do this? What do you want to do? It's a sharing relationship. I get advice from different coaches. I contact, I read books, I do everything I can to get the most knowledge that I can about this particular entity so I can be the best that I can be. And when I step on the field, you damn right, I'm confident. But the flip side, arrogance. I think I'm the best. A coach said, hey, Drake, you want, nah. Y'all do what y'all want to do. I'm over here.
I treat you like I'm together. The best.
Nah. Y'all, I'm good. I already know that stuff. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I'm not prepared because I think I know everything. I don't listen to nobody. I don't take instruction from nobody. I'm not trying to better myself by studying, reading, getting the information from other coaches. That's arrogant. When you don't give a flip a hoot about nobody else, what they say in their 2 cents, because you're so self-engulfed in yourself that everything what you say is grade A, top notch.
That's right.
That's the difference between arrogance and confidence. So most athletes, I think, you know, of course you're going to have people that are arrogant, but I think most of your athletes, they just have that A-type mentality. When I step on the field, I'm the baddest SOB that there is. I'm the baddest linebacker. I'm the hardest hitting offensive tackle. I mean, whatever it is, in your average American, it's going to fall. He's just an asshole.
That's right. I had to tell Zachariah the other day. I said, he said he overheard a girl he likes say that he was bossy and bragged a lot or something, bragging. And I had to tell him, I said, son, you got to, you know, it hurt his feelings. It really hurt his feelings. I said, son, let me tell you something. I said, you are a natural leader. I can already tell that about him. I mean, he's and not talking about myself, but he's me. He's a mini me in every way, shape, form, or fashion. I say, you know, the unfortunate thing about being a natural leader, everybody doesn't like a natural leader. I say, so you just got to deal with that. I say, guess what? You know, the great thing about that little girl, she cool. She may be cute and all. She ain't the woman God got for you. I said, because the woman God got for you, she going to accept you being a king, and she going to embrace the king in you. And by that, you're going to treat her like a queen. I said, the thing I love about my wife is my wife sees the greatness in me. You know what I mean? And I don't say that from a braggadocious standpoint. She lets me be who I am.
Yeah.
She don't keep me, you know, she don't try to scale me back or hold me back from who I am. And, you know, for the longest, you know, I was coming up through high school. I tried to run from this. I actually went to Auburn. You know, I've always wanted to go to Auburn. I always wanted to be an electrical engineer. But the other piece for me when I got older and got closer to high school, I actually went to Auburn, Big Drake. I wanted to become just a number. I said, you know what? I want to go to this big old school, all these folks. I can just be a number. Because in high school, I had been a leader. I had dinner. I said, I want to just be a number. By the end of my freshman year, I was vice president of Black Student Union. I was all, I joined a fraternity. I quickly became, you know, president of our fraternity. I mean, I finally, about sophomore year, Big Drake, I finally said, you know what? I was called to be a leader. Ain't nothing else I can do about this. Now, that's not cocky, but I'm an alpha male. I'm sorry if you're not. And I'm sorry if the fact that I'm an alpha male intimidates you because you're not. Sorry. You know the great thing about me, though? I got a whole lot of other alpha males around me. So me and you are cool. You are alpha male. Yeah. And you're alpha male because you're alpha male. You're not intimidated by me being alpha male. So, you know, and that's exact. Cam is an alpha male. When he step in the room, you don't know. President Obama is an alpha male. I always go back to that picture. That picture when they made the call and they was watching as Osama bin Laden was being captured. And he is sitting to the side. He's not at the head of the table. He ain't at the table. He's sitting back. He's sitting there to the side in his chair. He is confident that he is an alpha male because, to your point, confidence is knowing who I am and what I'm capable of and thinking I'm the best SOB on the planet.
Yeah.
Cockiness is expecting you to treat me like I'm the best SOB on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
When you're confident, I don't care what you think about me. Because guess what? I ain't here for you. I'm here for me.
Yeah.
I'm here for what I got to do. So I think that's absolutely the right message for the kids. And the people that get that are the people that end up taking it are able to take their leadership and be able to go to the next level to being able to do it, man. It's not about you. It's about me. I'm here to be who I was called to be. And if that impacts you, if that impacts you, great. For the good, great. For the bad, great. You do you. I hope you get yours while I'm getting mine, man. So, Big Drake, before we get off here, man, I got to ask you, bro. We don't talk about it a lot. We did every now and then, and you've come more out of your shell since we started having a show than we used to be before. Are you surprised that Donald Trump mania has not died yet?
I think sometimes, and this is what I related to. There's this young lady that I work with, and she dated this guy, even lived with this guy for about 3 years or so, and broke it off, and quickly she dated somebody that, she's an attractive girl, so she dated somebody that everybody else looked at wasn't as attractive as she was, which her last guy was attractive cat.
Right.
This guy was kind of overweight and this and that, and he ended up cheating on her, so that ended. And then we were at lunch one day, and somebody posed the question, like, what were you even doing with this guy? And her response was, he was just so different from my last boyfriend in every way. That's one of the things that attracted me to him. So you have to think, we have somebody like our president who, he's done something right to win two elections.
That's right.
but there's a mass amount of people that don't like him.
That's right.
And so because Donald Trump is so far-fetched, the opposite of who he is, people are attracted to him.
Oh, my God. That makes perfect sense. I'm glad somebody can help me make sense of this. Because, Big Drake, me and Veronica have said, if Donald Trump wins, I'll be taping my show live from Canada. I don't know that I want to live in a United States where Donald Trump is my president. I can't fathom. I mean, you know, in the whole time, I was like, it'll die down. It'll die down. There is no way the American people are this stupid. It has to die down. And it's not. Ben Carson fell by the wayside. I expected him to. He was just another brother they could throw out there as the token. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, see, we like black people. We're putting them up here. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
That's,
you just did that a couple years ago with Kane.
Yeah. With Papa Godfather's Pizza Dude. You know, so I didn't get thrown off by that red herring. But this one, this Donald Trump thing, bro, it scares the daylights. This one scares me. Yo, Ben Carson was just funny. I'm just like, y'all stupid. I mean, y'all seriously? Y'all really believe this dude? Like, this, I mean, you know, I could never take that serious. And I thought that at the start of this Donald Trump thing. But the longer it goes, Drake, it's starting to really scare me. Like, are we seriously about to elect Donald Trump as the president of the United States of America? People, for real? Like, seriously? We're finna elect Donald Trump? Donald Trump. This dude pretty much said all Mexicans good for us cleaning toilets. And we agree with electing Donald Trump? I mean, dog.
I still don't think he's going to win. I really don't. He may, you know, win. He may get the nod, I guess they'd call it the nod.
Republican nomination.
Republican. Yeah, but overall, I think, you know, when it comes down to putting our country in the right person's hands, whether we have no one technically out of the group of candidates that's the right person, they know who not to put it in. You know what I mean? I think at the end, out of the candidates that we have, the cream will rise to the top.
I'm glad you believe that, because I was expecting him to fade before the year came. And we,
I wasn't, man.
We are now actually in the election year.
He got money, man. Money. And that's what really, I mean,
money keeping relevant.
Money drives this country.
Yeah.
And if you really look at, well, who's going to be the next president? Is it going to be a Republican? Is it going to be a Democrat? Is it going to be, what they call them, an independent or whatever they call them?
Yeah.
Tea Party?
Tea Party, yeah. Well,
the answer is whatever party raises the most money.
That's right.
And that's the 100% truth answer.
Whoever pays for it.
Yeah, he has lasted the longest because of his financial, you know, gain. But when it comes down to it, I don't see even Republicans, even though they might say one thing, when they get in them secret ballots behind that curtain, and they really got to say, okay, who do I really want to be president of this nation? You know, he's going to get some votes. I just don't see him winning. I really don't.
Here's my fear, Big Drake, and this is not a knock against that this candidate. The person had my support action before President Obama actually ascended to being a vice. Because I was the same way. It's like, okay, now I'm going to hitch my horse to who I think has a good chance of winning, whose ideals more closely resemble mine. And when President Obama first started, you know what I'm saying, I'm like, he got a snowball chance of hell in winning. So I'm not finna hitch my horse to him. And, you know, it took a couple caucuses before I'm like, oh, well, let me listen to him now, because he actually may have a shot. You know what I'm saying? And that's when I finally flipped. But I supported this candidate before that. But my fear is, if Hillary is the Democratic nominee and they go in that secret ballot box, and on that card is Hillary Clinton on one side and Donald Trump on the other side, my fear is, there's enough folks that's going to say, we tried something different long enough.
Yeah,
we better go back. And so that's my fear. I'm to the point to where I don't want Hillary. I'm actually starting to like Bernie Sanders only because my fear is if they do get to that secret ballot and Hillary is the only other option, I don't think they'll go from, they'll never not put another white male in there, right? I ain't going to say never. They're not going to not put a white male in there right this time after getting rid of President Obama.
Well, I could see, you know, I know Rio or whatever his name is. I could see them not necessarily going necessarily all the way white male. If they
you talking about
Hispanic male or whatever.
Rubio.
But I tell you what they damn sure not going to do. They're not going to put a woman in there.
No, they're not. And that, so that's my fear, is if Donald Trump wins the Republican nominee and he goes against Hillary, like, no, they're going to pick him.
And I will say people, they are apt to, even if they don't know the views, they're going to, especially, you know, the way the media perceives and what the media puts out, you know, and, you know, sometimes that floods the mind and people might look at Hillary and say, well, she's a liar and she's a cheat because she had these emails, she did all this stuff, and now she hid them and all that. And then you got, well, Donald is an idiot. Well, I would have an idiot than a liar and a cheat.
That's so, right. You know? And for me, I'm like, morally, what I want, you know, morally, personality, everything. I would never want to sit down and have a beer with Hillary Clinton. Never. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she's just not, she is not somebody I would kick it with. I don't want to go to no game with her. I don't want to do nothing. But if there's one thing I can't admit, is she has been a great politician all of her life. She was bred for this. This is what she's always desired to be. Not just in control, but a decision maker, because she understands the diplomacy. She understands the consequences of her act. She understands all this stuff. She's been in politics all her life. She ran the freaking governorship when her husband was the figurehead as governor. You know, I mean, this is what she's bred for. She went to school for this. And on the other, so when you talk about that, yes, she's done some stupid underhanded stuff that she probably shouldn't have. She shouldn't have lied, but she was always trying to save her career. You know what I'm saying? And her opportunities. But when you look and you compare that to, so Donald has what? I understand he's an idiot, but you do understand that this is the idiot that will be the representation for all of us, right? You understand that this is the idiot that will be or may not be hosting any dignitaries across the world. I mean, that's that idiot. Do we really want that to be? I mean, do we want the court gesture as the president? The court gesture never became the king. He wasn't even in line.
Court gesture wasn't a millionaire either.
No, I know, bro. I mean, I tell you, man, it is starting to scare me that his money and their other choice may make them pick him.
Yeah.
It's scaring me. Like I said, it's to the point to where before I thought Bernie Sanders was just an old quack that smoked weed. And now I'm starting to listen to him and be like, okay, so what is he saying? Okay, I could do that. All right, I can lock, because I'm grasping at straws of saying, I don't think we can put Hillary up.
Yeah.
Because if he's the other candidate, I don't think we can beat him.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll let her win it. So I hate to be like that. I hate not to be able to elect her just sheerly off her ability. Because I do think, based on most of the candidates that I know are in there, I do think she's probably the most qualified out of all the candidates to actually hold a position. But they ain't gonna put in there, man. They ain't gonna follow up no brother with a
woman. A woman.
Nope.
A woman. That's just. But you know, it's sad that it has to be that way.
It is. It is.
It's you know, you would hope and wish that it would just. And, you know, that's one thing I learned. I mean, I already knew this, but I learned at the football conference. I listened to this guy speaking. He just was. handed and just was very, very in your face about things. He's like, you know, this career that everybody in here has chosen, it has nothing to do with merit.
Nope.
It has nothing to do with merit. And then it made me think, because we're having this discussion about politics, about politicians. Most of the time, it has nothing to do with merit.
Nope.
As far as what you've actually done, what you're trying to do, what you're trying to achieve, what you have achieved. It's all about who you know, what kind of connections you got, and what kind of money you make.
That's right. I mean, that's the line they draw it on.
So if we were going off of merit, like you said, she is probably the most qualified.
That's right.
But because she's a woman.
Ain't even going to get no play. I mean, Donald Trump went so far, and I can't fault him for Fox News, but Donald Trump went so far as to say, this is how unparalleled this was. So last week, Fox News had their Republican debate. Donald Trump said, I don't like one of the moderators because of something they said a couple years back, so I'm not coming.
Huh.
Not only did he not come, he threw an event across town. And here's the asinine thing. So he threw an event for the veterans, air quotes, to celebrate veterans. And three of the other Republican candidates for president showed up at his event.
Wow.
Mike Huckabee showed up. And two other people showed up at his event, Big Drake. This is asinine what this man is doing. He has no filter. He says what he wants to. He said, I could probably shoot and kill somebody in a dark alley and they still vote for me. He said that at a freaking convention. This dude at an evangelical school speaking to people that are graduating from seminary, get up and say, you know what the Bible said in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, Big Drake. He said it three times. He didn't misread his speech. He said it three times.
Yeah.
Doc, it's asinine, man. It's asinine. I just can't believe it. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
But hey, bro, I'm going to get off my high horse, man. Big Drake, it's been lovely, man. We family, we're not going. I'm not going to commit. I'm not going to tell you what we are going to do, what we ain't going to do. I'll tell you this. Any opportunity we got, we're going to get on the air. Is that fair?
Your listeners just know, I mean, we ain't not taping, just not to tape.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a point where I call you or vice versa. Hey, you want to tape? Nah, I'm not sitting today. You know, it's never that.
That's right.
It's never that. So
there's a lot of life that's just going on.
Living life.
Yes. Big Drake, any final words? I actually think this whole show, if you really want to be inspired, you need to listen to this whole show. There's so many nuggets of life in this one.
Yeah, just I want to encourage people not to be so judgmental, especially off what you see at face value.
Right.
And, of course, the incident with Cam Newton has, you know, of course, sprung all this conversation on. But, just think about, you know, what I said about Dabo Sweeney. I don't know him personally.
Nope.
I'm just going off of what I see as far as his actions after the game. Not about him calling plays, not about him. And that's all I'm talking about. I'm not saying he's a bad person. I'm not saying he doesn't have moral value. I'm not saying his antics after the game are taken away from his team and putting it all on him. I'm just saying as a head coach, I want my guys acting different.
That's right.
That's all I'm saying. So, on the flip end, it's such human nature to judge. And I think, Kingpin, you can, you know, hopefully agree with me on this. I think that's one of the things that most people are attracted to me with, because I don't judge nobody for nothing.
That's right. I agree.
I mean that's one of the things that the Lord has just, you know, I've been blessed with. He's taking that from me. I don't judge people. It's not my place to judge people, but judging is a human nature. So I would encourage everybody to not judge off of what you see for face value.
Right.
And if it bothers you so much, go up to the person and meet the person. I mean, if it's not a Cam Newton thing, because none of us can meet Cam Newton.
That's right.
But I'm just talking about this as a broad spectrum. You know, let's not jump to conclusions. Let's not be so judgmental. And also, if you do find something nasty about somebody that you don't like, let this person cheating on their wife, then doggone it, don't hang out with them.
That's right.
It's very easy. I mean, you don't have to do the things that person do. You don't have to involve yourself in that person's life. You can easily separate yourself from that person.
I ain't got to go spread no rumors telling what's going on.
Yes.
We just don't kick it no more.
The keynote speaker what's going on. But let's not be so judgmental, because everybody got some form of some type of skeleton in their closet.
That's right.
Whether it happened yesterday or whether it's 15 years ago.
I'll just echo that, brother, is because I think I've matured a lot in my life. I can't say that I've always been that non-judgmental person, because recently, you know, I've been on a big kick. I really want to touch bases back with one of my fraternity brothers that I felt like I treated him really unfairly based on this, you know, what he revealed. And I was a different person then, and the Lord has really worked on me a lot over the years. And I think the strength of my ministry has come from my young people being able to be transparent to me, knowing I'm not going to judge them. But what I am going to do, I'm going to love on you. I'm going to tell you what's right. And even if you don't take it, you can come back to me. I got a young man that I mentor or talk to all the time. He's fallen 17, 18, 20 times. Mm-hmm. And every time he comes back to me, I don't come and say, well, man, I ain't going to tell you nothing else. You don't listen now the other time. I don't say that.
Yeah.
I don't say that. I said, bro, what's going on, man? How you been?
Yeah.
I'll hit him up. I'll be like, hey, I ain't heard from you in a while. When I haven't heard from you, I know what's done happened. What's going on with you? You know what I'm saying? I need you to know I'm still here for you. So, and I think that's what the Lord is calling for more of us to be. So, you know, last song I'm going to play, man, it's off. Lecrae got a new album out, and one of the tracks on there, man, just really starts hitting to me. It's called Sideline. It's a whole lot of people watching and talking from the sideline, but it's a whole nother thing when you hop on this field. Everybody got something to say about folks that's in the game while they're standing on the sideline. I'm going to encourage you, just like Big Drake, about being non-judgmental. I'm going to encourage you. Also, don't worry about what the fans say.
Mm-hmm.
Play the game. That's all we got to do. Play the game. Don't worry about what the fans say. Because just like that fan that wrote that letter to Cam Newton, all the things she insinuated in there, I guarantee you, if you could really look at his playbook, not the one he run on the field, but the playbook he runs in life, I guarantee you will be amazed that everything you called out to make insinuations about are the things that his game, not on the field, his game in life, are built on. Those are probably the most plays he run in his life. It's to inspire, motivate, encourage, and be an ambassador and a role model for those that he knows are looking up for him. Yeah. Because what he's telling them is not to play the game like by the rules you give me, but to play the game by what's been given to you by the making Almighty. So play the game, man. Sideline. Big Drake, love you, brother. K Deuce, I hear you trying to get on the air with us.
Yeah, you hear
the background. K Deuce, I'm getting on the air. Forget that. Hey, fam, we know this is a long show, probably 2 hours. I may even cut it up just for y'all. So if you hear a cut in some music, that's like, Kingpin decided to chop it up for y'all so y'all get 2 episodes, man. But promise you we'll be back on the app, man. We can't promise you when. We may get you a post Super Bowl show, but you'll definitely be hearing from us soon. And if Donald Trump wins, we'll be taping the Made Men Radio show live from Canada, baby. It's Kingpin, Big Drake, Made Men Radio Show family. Two fangs in there, deuces. We love you, man.
Peace.
1,000. Biz busy on the bars. Yeah, I hear them cheering from the sidelines. Wait, oh look, I think they hate when people tell me take my time, right? Nah, they tired of waiting. They say, "Crazy, sell your soul, man." For real? Who bought it? Let the spirit take control, man. I don't go nowhere without them, yeah. They scared that I'ma cause these babies to stumble. They scared that my integrity is gon' crumble. Appreciate the prayers, but all that pressure either gon' make you humble or make you hang out.
was born to do it. God don't make mistakes and say I'm sorry. He ain't never dropped the ball. I don't ever plan to fumble. Catch me running with them lions. Reggie pushing in the jungle. Came from nothing. I remember spending summers on a corner with my cousin, shooting dice and playing dozens. Me and BJ in that color CD player, missing buttons up in Lincoln High in Dallas with that Jesus music bumping. That was Joseph graduation. Turn on that radio and T-Dot on the station. I remember when we used to split the rent up. UGK was banging loud inside his pickup. Wait, let me pick up. Back when promoters wouldn't let me back in, unless I pay them on the back end. That ain't happening. We just pray to God that somehow he would let us crack in. Took the dough off of them and just told us get it cracked in. I am cheering from the sidelines. People tell me take my time, right? Yeah, I'm cheering from the sidelines. Hold up, I think they hate. People tell me take my time, right? They tired of waiting, they bragging, they in the building. Ain't building nothing, we out here building the children. You know I love them, boy. Spit it how I live, feel it in my breath. Walk it like I talk, put it to the test. Gina, get the step and we get the start. And you dream of being the king, but you watching the wrong Martin, bruh, man. Ain't never been a dream, you just oversleep. If it wasn't hard work, they probably cheat. Yeah, get that arrogance and rest. This ain't happen overnight, that's why I do this thing to death. I might do this till I'm deaf, dumb and blind. You know I don't need my eyes to see my fate. Working fine, never mind me. I ain't worried about how they define me. Long as they can find me, they'll never confine me. I am cheering from the sidelines. People tell me take my time, right? Yeah, I'm cheering from the sidelines. Hold up, I think they hate. People told me take my time, right?